Our listeners are always our best researchers, but not one listener so far this morning has been able to come up with why we actually run the Melbourne Cup at 3 o'clock. I've given my reasons, which are not suitable. I don't think they're good enough. Adam Pengelly will know. Yeah, Adam, good morning.
Hello, TK.
Yes.
I think it's tradition more than anything, isn't it?
No, I don't know about that. I don't know. I gave the transport excuse is what I heard once trotted out by the VRC, you know, to move the big crowd out of Flemington and, you know, through the train network. They had to stagger the exit from Flemington. But that stagger would happen at any time.
All right, well, here's something for you. Why don't we just accept it's at 3 o'clock?
No, because it's a bad time, Michael.
Okay, you tell me why it's a bad time, Terry.
Because...
Tell me.
Less people can watch it. The later on in the afternoon,
like,
the more people can watch.
What, you don't think in the workplace people aren't getting their TVs set? You don't think they're having lunches? You don't think they're setting things up? What is the reason, Terry?
What about our poor kids?
Do you think that is going to change the time of the Melbourne Cup in this day and age? Sorry, Adam.
Adam, we need a proper reason.
On a serious note, Slats, I think it probably does need to be looked at because racing has been accused in the past of almost missing a whole generation of young fans. Obviously, trying to get new people and attract them to the sport's a real difficulty. The 3 o'clock time, I must admit, is an absolute nightmare for any parent that has kids at school doing the school pickups and stuff like that.
Yeah, but so, what time does school finish? Isn't school finishing at 3:30? I don't know. My kids are
anywhere from 2:50 to 3:30.
I know, but my kids finish and then are on a 40-minute bus trip.
Well,
so
that's okay. They have the cup at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a case to say that the cup should be run a little bit later in the day to try and make sure that everyone's able to watch it, because I do concede that 3 o'clock is a really difficult time for schools, just with pickups. Obviously, schools finish at a variety of times. From a personal point of view, I'd like to see the race run at 3 o'clock instead of a newspaper deadline.
Yeah. But, well, we've definitely had it at 2:40, Adam. We've definitely had it at 3:20. I reckon we've had it at 3:10, 3:15.
I remember watching it at primary school, like the
teachers.
That's right,
which means it was, you know,
it was, that would have been that 2:40 slot, I suppose.
You did 3 years in grade five, so.
Oh, that's not very nice, mate. It was four.
Now, I couldn't believe Gay hadn't won an Oaks. 135 group ones. I did earlier on this morning. I admire her, mate, for a lady of her means to still work as hard as she does. I've got nothing but respect for Gay.
Best ambassador I've got in racing, TK, to be honest. Yeah. She's an absolute star. And I was quite surprised as well yesterday, just leading up to the race, obviously hearing a few stories saying that she'd never won an Oaks before in her career. I think the other big race she hasn't ticked off yet on her resume, believe it or not, is an Australian Derby. She still hasn't won an Australian Derby at Randwick in the autumn, so that might be a race she targets in the next couple of years. But what a performance by Pino yesterday, TK, because we saw her miss the kick. Every speed map had her either leading or just sitting outside the lead, and she missed the kick by a couple of lengths. And this was a cool ride by Stephen Bassett. He slowly but gradually circled the field to ensure he sat outside the lead and didn't spend too much petrol and tried to conserve as much energy as possible. And she was still the toughest on the line and going away from him. It was quite a remarkable performance, really, really nice feeling, something to work with in the future, I think.
I reckon it was better than a cool ride. I stated to Slats earlier on this morning, I thought it was great to see a jockey, who I admire their tenacity and their courage, show initiative, which sometimes I can be thinking they just follow the pack all the time. And I thought he showed great initiative to make a mid-race move and whip around him.
Yeah, very easy to panic in that situation as well, TK. He probably thought that I'm on a really strong, tough sort of staying filly. If I settled in the second half of the field here, I won't be able to utilise any turn of foot or a best asset, basically, which is to cruise along at a high speed. So for him to settle in that position he did and just have all the others chasing at about the 400-metre mark, it was a beautiful ride. And hasn't he had an amazing carnival, Stephen Bassett? He's been an absolute fire the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, favourite was disappointing, Adam.
Yeah, she was a little bit flat, Aloysia. Maybe she was a little bit flattered after her last two wins in the 1,000 guineas against the boys in the Vast. But as we've discussed on this program in the past, how often do you see a horse run well after having to be reshod behind the gate?
Not often.
Hunter, you just want you want your money back straight away when you see something like that. And obviously, she was very, very soft in betting in that last 5 minutes when she had that little pick up behind the gate. And I must admit, she probably ran accordingly.
Yeah, if you could get off, you would. I mean, that's just the way it works. Now, mate, we've got the Darley Classic to conclude and the Emirates, and then we'll get your tips for Rose Hill as well.
Yeah, Darley Classic is going to be an absolutely outstanding race, TK. Redville returns to the track. Haven't seen him since the Everest. The Snowden boys like to keep him on the fresh side, so he's about 4 weeks between runs. And if you remember last year, this was about when he really jumped out of the ground. He won the Mum Stakes down the straight on Oaks Day when he was a horse that always promised a fair bit but hadn't produced a lot. So that sort of kicked off his last 12 months, and he's arguably probably the best sprinter in the land at the moment. Vega Magic's back to the races, Chautauqua. Also, Redcliffe Warrior's got an outstanding Flemington straight track record. I know he's very disappointing in the Everest, but I'd expect him to improve. And then your horses like Inner Time, Impending, and Malaguira. I'm suggesting, TK, this is almost a race of the carnival on Saturday, the sprint race, the Darley Classic. Absolute cracker.
Yeah, I've got to stick with Chautauqua. I've been on the grey the last three times. I'm going to stick here, mate. Rose Hill?
Yeah, two tips at Rose Hill tomorrow, TK. Race three, number four, Last Wish. He gets out to a mile and a half. Which is his ideal trip. Blinkers go on. I know he's got to turn the tables on Caravali, but I think he's absolutely low-flying this campaign. I expect him to run a big race at odds. And race seven, number five, Just Dreaming, third up. I think she can do something as well. She's ready for a peak performance.
Good on you, Adam. Have a great weekend, mate.
Thanks, TK. You too, boys.